Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Melly Mel. What's that smell?
Hey, DB. What's that?
I didn't mean to force you into rhyming.
Almost.
Attempted rhyme. I'll tell you what that smell is.
Ooh.
It's cannabis.
Oh, that's never a bad thing.
Our guest today gets so high, I can already smell it. Have you ever met Ngayo? I forget.
I think I've been like on a show or two, but I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see if he remembers you. might be a two-way street. Anyway, comedian Ngayo Bilum is going to be here, and he's a regular over on, you know, my other podcasts, and you can find him at Ngayo, N-G-A-I-O 420 on the socials. And this should be a funny and chill chat.
Woohoo!
You ready for it?
Yeah, buddy.
It's Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. Let's go to work. Hello, Ngayo.
Hello, Doug and Doug. That was a thrilling theme song. I really thought you were maybe going to go with like a Primus parody, like too many doggies with blunts in their hands.
Now, this is an original song that I commissioned, and we make people listen to it, even though we could just put it in post. It just gives us a little energy at the top of the show, but we don't necessarily need that today because even though he smokes a shit ton of cannabis, Mr. Ngayo Bilum is one of the more energetic individuals.
Thank you. That's a metric shit ton.
Yeah. And you're always getting stuff done and, you know, doing comedy and advocating, and super busy, fun. Stop me if I'm getting this wrong.
You know what? Sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough, especially when I'm just sitting on the couch smoking weed, watching Burn Notice again. But then I look back at what I've accomplished over the month or the week, and I'm like, hey, you know what? That wasn't too bad. So,
do you just watch Burn Notice because of the you know, kind of the weed pun in the title, or do you really like it?
I like Burn Notice. I think that the lead guy who plays Michael Weston is an excellent actor. They ask him to do a lot in that show, and he does a lot, and it's believable. And who doesn't like to learn spycraft? See, I like a heist movie anyway, so every episode is like a little mini heist. So it's perfect for me.
Yeah, but you can rewatch them though. It sounds like.
I just finished rewatching the whole thing this last month, but I hadn't watched it in like 4 years. So
yeah. I mean, Bruce Campbell's a delight, of course.
You can't go wrong with Sam Axe and his chin, Chuck Finley.
And I love that we both that you knew the character name, but not the actor who plays him.
You know, and I see that guy in some other stuff every once in a while. I'm like, hey, that's Michael Weston, and I'm sure he would hate that.
I don't know. I mean, because, you know, it's hard to break through these days and have an iconic character that people refer to by name.
But that also probably keeps him from getting work for, you know, for a few years after the series. They're like, no, dude, you're Michael Weston. No one's going to believe you as the guy who runs the bank.
Yeah, that, but now it's driving me crazy what the guy's name is. I want to say Martin something.
Sure.
Jeffrey Donovan.
Jeffrey Donovan. Oh, there's another actor named Martin Donovan. There you go.
Okay.
All right. How's it going in general right now, Ngayo?
It's going all right, man. It's going all right. The depression has lifted. I'm getting back out on the road a little bit, which is nice, although it's a little scary. I mean, I just played the Oregon Hemp Fest in Oakland, Oregon. You didn't know Oregon had an Oakland, did you? You knew they had a Newport and you knew they had a Salem, but you didn't know they had an Oakland. And
they have a port. I mean, they're super into Oregon. Really was like, when it came to naming cities, they were like, let's just take ones that already exist.
There's not even New Oakland or there's Oakland some good North.
Ones. Yeah, yeah. It's just, let's just use all the ones that are in
Springfield
already. Yeah, as they moved west, they just took the names with them. What about, what were you saying about it?
It's my favorite Dustylicious Hippie Hemp Fest, really. We have a good time out there. But here's the thing, though. When you're out there in West Central Oregon, some of the hippies are really more libertarian. So... Ooh. You know, you wonder about masking and vaccines,
right?
If people are really taking it seriously. So I didn't really share any joints with anybody. All very German style smoking.
I think that's the way to go from now on. It's just, you know, it's still a hang. You're still smoking. You can even share like buds and stuff. But like the passing around of a pipe just seems like a...
But I miss passing the joint so much. It's such a social thing,
right?
It's fun. You know, there's going to be, some entrepreneurs are going to come up with some things where you like stick something into something else and then pass it.
Sure. So, I have a joint bong that I bring sometimes where I can just stick it into the bong there.
And yeah, I like
put
that.
My lips on the actual joint.
Yeah,
and then everybody goes, what a fancy joint bong you have.
Bongs are so much better than joints in terms of like just being able to clean in between each hit. You know, you could just take a little, wet wipe or whatever to it.
Alcohol.
I was at a comedy show last night and there was a joint passed around. And yeah, it felt weird to get weird about it, but I didn't take it. But then it was passed over to this guy that I think was doing meth in the parking lot. And he like smiled and had like no teeth. And then they just passed it right back. Like nobody knew him and he was out of his mind. And it was just such a weird, like, is no one thinking about what's going on right now? Like,
right. And back in the day, that wouldn't be a problem. If some random stranger showed up in your weed circle and took a couple hits, you'd be like, hey man, welcome random stranger. This is what the circle is for.
Yeah.
It's notes equality. But now you're like, bro, I don't know you. What's that on your lip?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot going on. It's
right.
Yeah.
Hit that shit chillum style. Don't just put your whole mouth on it. Don't be out here honky lipping my doobies, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just not going to mess with it. I'll even run. I'll even turn and run if somebody tries too hard to pass it because I just don't want to stand there. I don't want to have to stand there saying no. Saying no to marijuana seems so, you know, counterintuitive.
You just turn and run.
Yeah,
it's passive aggressive, but it's funny, and that's the important thing. That's kind of your whole act.
Yeah, exactly. Growing up, Ungayo. I mean, as far as we talk to people about their names on this show, and you know, we certainly had unusual ones, but I don't think either of us two Dougs have ever known another Ungayo. So it's very, very unique. What's your take on it?
It is very unique. I'm the third most popular Ungayo in the world, according to Google.
Who are the top
two? Which is not hard to do. Nio Marsh. We're going by spelling and not pronunciation. So Nio Marsh is the old New Zealand mystery author who's been dead for a trillion years. Not that long, but for a long time. And then Nio State Park in New Zealand. So if you're in New Zealand, Nio, also spelled N-G-A-I-O, is a Maori word. And if there's a tree and a flower and a park, and it is not uncommon for a few women and a couple dudes to be named that. But if you're in America, Ungayo, which is an Americanization of a Kikuyu name, meaning hunger. And I've amended it to say hungry for knowledge, because every time I say, they go, what's your name mean? And I go hungry. And they go, what are you hungry for? And so knowledge was the nerdiest one. You could say money, but then it makes you seem kind of super greedy. So now I say knowledge. But now that I'm older, I'm like, they probably could have named me hungry for wisdom and it might have been better. But wisdom is applied knowledge. So there you go.
There you go.
There you go. There's the long answer for it.
Holy crap. That was a great answer.
I've been asked this question before.
Yes. Yeah.
What does Doug mean?
Whenever somebody asks me or Doug Mellard about our name. We don't have anything interesting to say. But that was fascinating. But also, by my count, oldest living, or I should say, you're the number one living Ungayo. That's a person. Right?
Yes, I'm the most popular living Ungayo. We sound like we're in arbitration for my Major League Baseball contract. He led left-handed shortstops in night games.
Well, you know, you said you were three, but then number one is dead. Number two is a place.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm the number
one. So you're the number one living Ungayo, and probably should say that on like your license plate frame. So, yeah. And then, but Belem is, I've never known another person with the last name Belem, but also that doesn't feel like it would be an uncommon name.
It is very uncommon. Unless you live in Camden, Arkansas, where there are approximately 30 or 40 Belems, because that's where my dad is from. And I'm not quite sure the derivation. It may be Welsh, maybe have been a Welsh slave owner or a Scots-Irish slave owner back in the day. But there, if you go to Camden, Arkansas, there's a few Belems. But and I think there's two in Los Angeles, and then the rest are in Sacramento.
Well, sidebar on the well, when you mentioned Welsh, it made me think of the, you know, when somebody Welches on something, when they
sure.
Where did that come from? Because it's not Welsh, it's Welch.
With it's a Welch. C-H. Yes.
Any idea where that came from? Why that's an expression?
The guy who invented grape juice was notorious for not paying his gambling debts.
The guy who invented grape juice. Yeah.
Yeah. Or jelly.
I mean, he probably also invented wine, I would think.
He was like, I'm in a jam and I can't pay my debts right now. Well, that was terrible. They can't all be grape, people. Some of them
are just jokes. No, they can't. They can't. You can't always get the crowd stomping.
Oh man!
Their approval—they're usually whining about how they didn't like it.
Wow! Did you ever play the Cabaret Sauvignon in Sonoma County?
Did they do the comedy competition there?
I think they might have done the comedy competition there once or twice, and they also used to do like a weekly comedy show for a while too.
Yeah, I was in I didn't do very well in the San Francisco comedy competition, but I think that. That winery was beautiful, really fun place to do a show.
Oh, that was the Wente Winery. That was a different spot. That was a great place. That was a great place to do a show. Yeah. I think we did them. We did a couple at the same time. I did 90, 91, and 92.
Yeah, I only did it once, but it might have been one of those years.
No,
Was Margaret Cho in one of those years?
She was. I have a picture of all three of us. Well, not a picture, but I still have the little newsletter thing that they used to put out. That, you know, here's all the competitors for this thing. And I still, it's got me, you, Blaine, Margaret. I think Sarah Silverman was in that year too.
Yeah. And like the guy that won that year is very funny, nice guy, but I couldn't tell you his name. I don't know what he does today.
If you did it in 90, it was Chris Collins, who is sadly no longer with us.
No, I know that.
In 91, the winner was Dexter Madison.
Yeah, I wasn't in that year. So there was and I must have been in 92.
In 92 was Johnny Steele.
Oh, maybe that guy came in second. Remember, he's like a super
I came in second low. In 92.
Well, whatever year I was in, there was a guy that had a super low key act. It was very low energy. And he wasn't in the week that I was in, but he won the whole I thought he won the whole thing, but I guess I'm remembering it wrong.
Tim Wiggins?
Yes.
Tim Williams was hilarious. I don't think he's doing comedy anymore. I think he came in second or third that year. I think that was definitely 90.
That's what I'm saying.
Or 91.
Good,
yeah.
Good for Johnny Steele, though. And all those other people you mentioned. Johnny Steele was a real powerhouse.
He was a high energy comic. They're all still doing comedy. I don't think Tim's still doing comedy, but I think everybody else is still doing comedy.
Yeah.
Barry Weintraub, T. Marnie Voss.
I mean, there's 20, there's like 10 comics or 20 comics each week or something. So there's like 40 at the beginning and they whittle it down to a winner.
They whittled it down to five for the finals. I was in fifth place going into the last night of the finals and came in strong in my hometown of San Francisco to finish in second place.
Nice.
I was robbed. No, I don't know.
Oh, by Johnny?
No, personally, yeah, he actually stuck me up for some money.
No, what year did who was the winner of the year you came second?
Johnny Steele.
Oh, okay. You ever play a character named Doug in anything?
No, I was Sean's friend number one in 9 months. And then, no, but you know what? I'm going to write a sketch where I play a character named Doug. Have you ever played a character named Ungayo?
No. I know a character named Ungayo. That movie was, I every time I catch some of it on cable, I kind of surprised at how wild it is. A lot of weird stuff goes on in that movie, but who is Sean? Is that Hugh Grant?
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, okay.
Jeff Goldblum
at the height of his, when he used to be like ripped and take his shirt off whenever he got the chance. He was Hugh Grant's best friend, and he was always very against the idea of Hugh Grant having this baby with some lady.
He was the creative artist guy, and he's like, I've been withholding my seed from my girlfriend because she wants a baby. That was the easiest audition I had ever been to in my life.
Because what happened?
We're sitting in the room. They're staring at us. Christopher Columbus walks in, right? He's the director. And he looks at everybody and he goes, all right, that's and then he leaves. And then an hour later, the agency calls me and they go, you got the gig.
No,
just at
no
you.
Lines or anything.
No, Sean's friend number one. I didn't have any lines. I tried muscle my way into some lines, but they're on the cutting room floor. But yeah,
who was number two?
I still get a check. Get a check for like $20 every 6 months.
There's like I think Chris Columbus kind of got you know, through his relationship with Robin Williams, had kind of like comedian fever for a little bit, because I think lots of the small parts in that movie are played by San Francisco comics.
Well, lots of San Francisco comics were signed with random talent agencies trying to get into the movies. So whenever they came up there, you would see Diane and me and you know, just random cats all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh my god, Diane. That's Mike Meehan.
Diane Amos is still the Pine Sol lady, I think.
Still the Pine Sol lady. Not just a meme, but she's still the Pine Sol lady.
How crazy is that?
Like, what a gig.
Those people that become one of the, like, the flow from the insurance, like, that's just what they are for, like, the rest of their life.
I wouldn't mind being Flo or the Pine Sol lady or the AT&T girl or whomever she is or whatever. And then there's that one guy who gets, he just gets commercial work all the time. I think he's in the latest Taco Bell chicken sandwich commercial. He's in, you know, he was like in a FedEx commercial. He was just like, every time you see that guy, you're like, oh, that's just the commercial guy. You don't really see him in movies or TV, but every 30th commercial, he's showing up for 10 seconds somewhere. Nice work.
It's strange that some people get funneled into, like, they are very good at commercial, like auditions and doing commercials, and then they sort of do that. And then other actors are bad with the commercials, but good with, you know, being in series and movies and stuff. It's weird.
Once he starts talking Pine Sol, he goes rogue. He gets all
over. Oh my god!
He gets so excited.
About Pine Sol.
I love Diane Amos, though. By the way, she's the one who really helped me get started in comedy. Her and the Butterfly Man.
The Butterfly Man.
The Butterfly Man. Robert Nelson, the late great Robert Nelson. He was the Butterfly Man. He was a street performer at Pier 39. And so I used to hang out with them when I worked at Beer 39, I worked t-shirt store. And then I saw these guys juggling and making cash. And here I am working for fucking $5.75 an hour or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, shit, I could do that. I majored in theater or whatever. And so I learned to juggle in like a month and a half. Yeah. So I learned to juggle, and I just went and made friends. I have no problem trying to make friends. And so we hit it off really well. And he let me sit at his house and smoke his weed and juggle and read all his books about how to have a career as a performer.
But what if
really got me started.
What would have happened if you were no good at juggling? Or do you think it's really something that someone can just practice enough and force themselves into being good at it?
I practiced constantly a lot for a month and a half. So I got halfway decent at it. And then, you know, you go to jugglers jams, you hang out with the jugglers and shit, and everybody likes to practice. It's very open source, so you can learn it pretty quickly. You just have to put in the work. I mean, I've definitely reached a plateau. Like, I still can't juggle five balls, and I've been juggling for 30 years. But, and, you know, I go to a juggling convention, and at the end of the convention of juggling steadily for a week, I almost pretty much have five balls, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go home and I'm going to practice that shit constantly. And then I go home and I smoke weed and go back to work. And so I don't practice it.
Yeah, because that's not your, like, you know, they're not looking for jugglers everywhere all the time.
Bruh, when I first started doing comedy, which is easier than street performing because they pay you and they give you drinks and there's already a crowd. You know, jugglers were kind of frowned upon it, but that's all changing again. We're going back into the variety show era, I think, a little bit. People are doing whatever they can. They're playing their guitar. They're doing their PowerPoint presentations. They're doing all kind of other shit rather than just standing there with a mic.
Yeah, your juggling's going to come back then?
It might. When I used to do a lot of road work and one-nighters, I would bring my gear, but I would only use it if the crowd was really, really good or really, really bad.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right. If you're a horrible crowd, I'm not fucking talking to you anymore. You can just stare at me throwing at shit for 20 minutes. Or if you're a good crowd, hey, here's some fun thing, something else I can also do. But I mean, for me to bring it back, I would have to write a whole new juggling act because all my juggling jokes are stuck in 1991 or whatever, behind the other back.
But that could be part of the fun of it, maybe. Is you could say the material that goes with this juggling is from the 90s.
It's like a time capsule. I'd have to go backstage and put on my FUBU shirt and come back with my cross-color jeans on.
Lots of music cues. I saw...
Black people juggle like this. White people juggle like this.
There's a juggler on AG, America's Got Talent, the other night. And he started off being one of those jugglers. It's like throwing the balls down to the ground and they bounce up and he gets a bunch of them going.
Yeah.
And, you know, they cut to Simon Cowell and he's already bored out of his mind because, you know, there's so many jugglers do that. But then that same guy then started adding all the twists and turns. And then there's like this staircase there. And he did it like while walking up and down a staircase, he had like five balls going and he just did all these different things. And so by the end of it, they were like, oh my God, you reinvented juggling. They were so excited. So it worked out for that guy. So I think juggling is coming back.
Yeah. I mean, it never left. I know so many, listen, here's the thing.
Like, go away. Balls laying around. There's always balls.
Do you know how many dudes are in gravity? So many balls. But I have quite a few homies who you've probably never heard of them, but they make bank on the corporate circuit, right? Sure. You do the conventions and the business meetings and the Christmas parties. Those guys love a juggler.
Yeah, that's a whole. I mean, that was the thing. I've probably bored people by talking about this in the past on the show, but when I was coming up as a stand-up, and you as well, Ngaio, like the headliner was a variety act 50% of the time. There was ventriloquists, there was magicians, there was jugglers, there was
hypnotists used to sell the fucking place out.
Yes, hypnotists are still
people love the hypnotist.
There's still a staple at every club you go to. You'll see, like, for one night or for one weekend, you know, coming up, there'll be like some hypnotist because the clubs never get, you know, tired of that.
Yeah.
Variety, ventriloquists, prop acts. Like, there used to be very elaborate prop acts, and now it's just Carrot Top's the only one when you think of props.
Carrot Top is still the best.
Yeah, well, he's it. Like, nobody else is traveling around with a box of props. Like, comedians would look at you like you're an asshole if you showed up with a crate full of props. You can't be like the, what was that guy, the Incredible Wid or whatever?
Oh my God, the Incredible Wid. But here's the thing, too. One of the reasons I stopped juggling so much in my act is I got tired of checking my torches and hatchets and machetes and shit in my luggage.
Oh my God.
Right? I just wanted to get on the plane and go to the gig, right? But, you know, they're not going to let you carry your hatchets on the plane.
Yeah, so. It's all that extra business. Like, that's why Joel Hodgson came up with Mystery Science Theater, because it's, you know, could have all of his wacky inventions and stuff, and he didn't have to, like, take him from comedy club to comedy club. Because
he always hear stories stuff. About the airline losing the prop comics props, and now he's got to do 40 minutes of what?
Imagine if I had my props right now.
Yeah. I'll describe them to you.
I'm going to show you some pictures.
I'm a propless prop act.
Right.
Good luck to us all. Well, you're doing great so far, Gaio.
I really need your approval.
We've got 5 and 5 questions. Doug wrote 5 questions. Other Doug wrote 5 questions. I don't know which one I was referring to in either case.
I was going
to
ask you.
We both did it. And we don't know what the other questions are. The other guy's going to ask. We take turns asking the questions. It's called 5 and 5. And we're going to do that right after the break. We'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We are back. I told you it was a short break. We've got 5 and 5 questions.
I want to play that game tonight.
Okay.
Five and five for sure. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah. At first, I thought you were going into $5 foot long.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my nickname in jail.
$5 foot long. Oh man.
I only swing like that in prison. Go ahead.
Right. I mean, you don't need to elsewhere. But in prison, you really gotta stake your territory.
Broaden your horizons.
Yeah. So we've got 5 and 5 questions for you. But first, before we do that, we would like you to
eat some leftovers.
That's right. Last episode, we didn't get to any of our questions for Daniel Van Kirk. You know Daniel?
I do know Daniel. I know him better as Marky Mark Wahlberg. We've chopped it up a couple times. We hung out in Nashville a couple times, and I think you were there for that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. When are you going back to Nashville? Take me with you.
Oh, okay. I got to remember to do that.
Yes, I'll send you a note.
Yeah, because every once in a while you'll name a city and go, hey, if you go there, let me know, and I can't keep track. You have different cities than me. Like,
I'm not going to lie. I low key cyber stalk some of my more famous friends. And when I see them in a town I want to visit, I'm like, hey, do you need some help in Memphis? Looks like you're going to be in Portland. I love Portland. What's going on? Let me just come up and hang out.
Yeah, that's a good system. It works. Anyway, so the point is, we would just like you, if you don't mind, we wrote these questions for Daniel, but we'd like to just ask you before we get to your questions, just to get him out of the way.
I will do Daniel Kirk's leftovers. Let's go.
Yeah, Daniel Van Kirk.
Perfect.
Of course. Sloppy seconds. That's kind of weird, but I'm in.
As you mentioned, he played Mark Wahlberg in many episodes of Doug Loves Movies and other podcasts. So let's go ahead, Doug. You got your first question ready?
Got it.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. Question 1 for Daniel Van Kirk. Steven Seagal versus Mark Wahlberg in a fight in their prime. Who wins?
I give it to Steven Seagal because, well, yeah, I mean, yes, in their prime, I think Steven Seagal's, I can't speak on the quality of his movies, but the quality of his Aikido in those movies was actually pretty good. So especially, I think if it's a stick fight, if it's some sort of Arnis or Philippine stick fighting contest, I think Steven Seagal will win. And I would definitely want them to fight with sticks more than I would want to see them fight barehanded.
So no, what about no sticks?
Still Steven Seagal. I think Marky Mark's technique is all aggression. And I don't think that he could handle the smooth technical brilliance of Steven Seagal's Aikido.
Oh, man. I always think smooth when I think Steven Seagal.
Well, it's not just his slick back hair.
Yeah. Daniel's played that both of those guys.
Steven I figured Seagal as much.
And Mark. And so then he would have some maybe some extra.
I was going to try to do an impression of either of those guys, but no, I only do a bad Sean Connery. That's the only impression I have. Junior,
okay, I'm going to try to do a Steven Seagal. Here we go. Look good, feel good. All right. So,
not bad.
Yeah. But so I also think if you don't mind me chiming in on this one, I feel like Marky Mark, is certainly in good shape.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has a discipline. I think that he has, he has to have abs and stuff for his movie roles, but that I think he just had his workouts. I feel like they're more generic and less specific. So I agree with Ungayo's assessment that Seagal's probably got more, he's bringing more skill to the table rather than just, you know, physical strength.
Rather than just South Boston racist inspired hate.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I believe you said it came from rage. That's a good way to sum it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't have rage in his heart.
To defeat your opponent, you must understand and love your opponent.
Yes. And that is not the Wahlberg way.
No.
Wahlberg way is to eat your opponent.
Yes.
Spit them out and call it a Wahlburger. All right, here's my first question that was intended for Daniel Van Kirk. Daniel, my brother, you're older than me. Do you still feel the pain of the scars that won't heal?
I would like to say I can see Daniel waving goodbye. And it looks like Daniel, but it must be the clouds in my eyes.
Yeah. The lyrics of this song are so it's like he's constantly going, but I take that back. But I didn't mean that. There's a few Elton John songs like that where I'm just like, why didn't Elton say to the lyricist Bernie Taupin, hey, could you do another draft of this? Because this one you say that you don't. Better yet, never mind. In the middle of the song, why not?
Anyway, say what I really mean.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, but that was a terrific answer. You know, you're Elton John.
If I was a poet. then again, no.
No.
Yeah.
It's your fucking song. That why are you second guessing yourself in the middle of a song that's going to be recorded?
You're like, have a point of view and stick with it, man.
Was he not feeling it in the booth that day? And they just, that was the recording they went with. Okay, great.
Well, then it seems like an executive would be like, hey, buddy, let's finish this song. It seems like somebody would catch this. It's somebody in the line.
Yeah, there's no reason to just be spitballing during a song. Okay, you're up now, Doug. I'm going to, while you ask Guy this next question, in honor of him, I am going to take a bong rip.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's very sweet of you.
I try to do everything I can for you and the cause.
All right.
Go ahead, Doug.
Kind of a trivia question for Daniel, because he grew up in Illinois. What, and maybe you'll know this, what is the state bird of Illinois?
Wow.
Any idea?
The fried chicken? No, that's Tennessee. the state bird of Illinois.
How amazing would that be if fried chicken was someplace?
I'm surprised. I'm surprised it's not the state bird of Georgia. The state bird of Illinois would be the groshawk.
Close. The northern cardinal.
Of course, the northern cardinal. What else did you think it would be?
What's
it? That is interesting. That's like kind of a Catholic sounding thing,
right? And what's the northern? I've never heard of a specific directional bird. I guess. What's the California state bird? I don't know that.
I don't know, but it makes sense. I mean, St. Louis is in Missouri. I was going to say St. Louis is the Cardinals, but I think they're the red cardinal. I don't know. Yeah, I know the state bird of California.
What is that?
Quail?
It's either the quail or the pheasant. It's the quail. It's the poppy. It's the quail.
What? I don't even understand how the state things get, like, when did they get picked?
If we had listened to Ben Franklin, the turkey would be the symbol of America and not the eagle.
Why do you think that was? He just thought the turkey was like something you could catch and eat, so therefore it's more important.
Thought it was more generous, more important, and you know, he wasn't just all about, oh my god, the eagle. I used to have a whole joke about how the founding fathers were stoners, right? So it's like, you know, Ben, the eagle flies graceful, free, and majestic above the clouds, and Ben is like, but you could eat a turkey, bro. And there's John Hancock, I'll sign for that, man. I'm fucking starving. But no one gets, like, it's so weird because, and I don't know if it's a dumbing down of America thing, but no one gets my founding fathers jokes anymore. No one knows about John Hancock's giant fucking signature. No one knows any of that stuff.
Really?
And so you try to do that joke and they don't have a reference for it. People are like, what, John Hancock? I don't know what you mean. I'm so confused. They don't have Schoolhouse Rock anymore.
It's definitely the dumbing down of America for sure. It's kind of weird. Man, you'd think they would know.
Think they'd know Ben Franklin and John Hancock, for crying out loud.
Right.
Right?
No, that's the amazing thing.
Cock really loud on stage, but no, I don't.
That's the amazing thing about our country is that to enter our country, you have to study American history so much harder than you do to live in it. You know, and so so immigrants know so much more about all this stuff than people. You know, we're born here now, on average. You know, obviously there's some very educated people that aren't immigrants, but it just baffles me how the people that are anti-immigration also, you're right, they do not know who John Hancock is, except for maybe what is an insurance company now or something. Yeah.
they don't even do put your John Hancock on a John Hancock. They don't even have those commercials anymore.
Yeah, I just think singing cock has really gone out of fashion.
I'm sorry. Now it's just all dick. She put my dick in her mouth. Whatever. TikTok songs, Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
Are there more questions for Daniel Van Kirk, or do we have specific?
We got 10 questions for him.
He didn't do any of his questions?
We didn't get to any of his questions. Like, that's how much we talked about other stuff.
Is this like a running theme? So next week you'd be like, we didn't have a chance to ask Ungayo his questions. So here are the questions for Ungayo.
Well, we're going to try to get to your questions. All right. We've still got so many of these to get through. You're doing great. This is, you know, it's all just about having a fun conversation. But just for the record, Doug, what was that last question you just asked?
What was the state bird of Illinois?
Oh, yeah, state
bird. The northern cardinal.
Yeah.
We're all learning.
I definitely want to, you know that from now on. I don't want to just let that one slide because I feel like it might come up on Jeopardy and then I can impress whoever else is sitting in the room watching it.
I'll take state birds for 800, LeVar.
State bird of Texas is mockingbird, and it's the worst bird. They're horrible birds. They're evil. I don't know how
there's a lot of bad birds out there.
They'll kill your children and put their egg in your nest, right? Are those the mockingbirds?
Yep, yeah. Sure is.
Yeah.
It's Texas, though, I guess.
Okay, here's my what?
Number two, right? Yeah, for you.
Yeah, number two for me. This is Dan Van Kirk, you did a voice on the show Central Park.
I did.
Uh-huh, on Apple TV. It's, you know, a spin-off, not a spin-off, but it's from the makers of Bob's Burgers. And you played a character named Gooch.
Yeah.
Please explain.
Well, the Gooch is the female version of a taint.
And so in this family musical animated show, you played a singing lady taint?
Yes. And I was very good at it.
I mean, I would suppose you'd have to be for it to be a real thing. Like,
to be a singing lady taint, you have to do it without moving your lips.
I really would like to go back to more grape puns, if that's okay.
Pino.
I think Dan did tell me what this Gooch thing was all about, but I forgot. So it would have been a good question for him, but none of us know the answer, really.
No. There are lots of people whose nicknames are Gooch.
Yeah, it seems like a go-to kind of nickname for people that are not aware of how bad something can sound, even if it's not specifically a terrible thing to call somebody.
No, but the Gooch and the taint are synonymous.
What?
Gooch and taint are synonymous, actually.
Yeah, but just Gooch just sounds like it's just unpleasant to me for some reason.
I got him right in the Gooch.
Well, that's a little better, Gooch.
Goosh. That's when you goose someone in the Gooch.
Question
Gooshy,
number
three. Gooshy, gooshy.
Question number three from Doug Mellard goes like this.
In the chicken sandwich wars that are currently going on,
Great. Who doesn't have an opinion about this?
I gotta say that I think Popeyes is winning the chicken sandwich war. I haven't had the new Burger King chicken sandwich. I generally, Burger King is not my go-to fast food.
Right.
I'm Popeyes and McDonald's, although I don't like the McDonald's chicken sandwich. So I'm going to go with Popeyes. Although I do like the KFC little kernels or whatever they're called, like the little tiny chicken sandwiches with the honey barbecue sauce and whatnot. Those are good.
Oh, yeah. And did you say earlier that Taco Bell is in on this now?
Well, they entered the chicken sandwich wars with a chicken taco or a chicken chalupa.
The Burger King one is just kind of it's there.
They're all mostly all just kind of these guys mistake juiciness for mayonnaise. And so they just glop the sauce on it, hoping that you'll forget how dry their meat is. And that's not how it works.
What about... do any of the fast food places yet, have any of them emerged ahead of the pack when it comes to like Beyond or Impossible Burgers?
I can't say that I fuck with any of the fake meats like that. My next big fast food adventure will be to try the thighs from Wingstop. Wingstop and Rick Ross are into thighs now because there's a wing shortage because everybody and their mother has opened a wing restaurant and there's only two wings on a chicken.
Whoa.
Well, there's only two thighs as well, right?
Right, but no one's opening a thigh restaurant.
Yeah, nobody wants them.
If I opened a thigh restaurant, it would be never mind. Anyway.
That's the thing about chicken to me is like, you know, if you're eating it off the bone, like obviously like a chicken wing is like just, you know, it's just handier. But it all tastes great and it's like, you know, it's just a matter of different shapes and stuff.
Sure. Thighs are probably my favorite part of the chicken, the darker meat. And also, it's virtually impossible to overcook a thigh, so you can go hard.
It's impossible to overcook it?
Virtually. It's a juicy cut of meat. It's really like, you can dry out a breast pretty quick, but the thighs stay juicy. They're very versatile.
All right, I'm just writing that down.
If you want a good chicken thigh sandwich, Pine State Biscuits in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, so good.
That's a good sandwich. That's a good sandwich.
I wasn't hungry, but now I'm starving.
So. Dude, I used to go to Pine State Biscuits so much that they thought I lived in Portland. because every time I was near it or driving through, I was like, I'm gonna stop at Pie State Biscuits and get me a money ball. And sometimes two money balls, sometimes a money ball and then an extra biscuit. And they were like, man, good to see you again.
Are you in town telling jokes? No, I'm just eating with
kids. No, they were like, were you on vacation? I was like, I don't fucking live here. I just like your biscuits.
Oh, all right, I think it's Doug's turn.
No, no, it's up to you. I asked the chicken sandwich wars. It's your
so it's Doug's turn.
It is Doug's turn. I was right.
You were right.
I was right. Doug wants to know. You did the voice. You did a voice on the show Bob's Burgers of a character named Flips White Fudge.
Flips White Fudge?
Yeah. Please explain.
First of all, I would like to say that I'm very fortunate to be getting all this work, and I'd like to thank my agent for hooking me up. Flips White Fudge was the name of the character. I think it's self-explanatory. Clearly,
yeah, I think it is.
Clearly, someone who buys and sells chocolaterias for money. You know, buy low, sell high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flips White Fudge.
Yeah. That's the best I can do on short notice.
Yeah. So, I don't know why Dan gets these crazy character names. I don't know what kind of insane voices he's doing.
What would Flips White Fudge sound like? Does anyone know?
I don't even know what ethnicity or
he probably sounds like Mark Wahlberg.
It tells me nothing about the character that his name, that he's got such a crazy name, other than, like you said, what he does for a living, which again is weird because how would you know it, you know, how at birth would you be given a name that's exactly what your profession's going to be?
Well, maybe his dad started the business.
Right. And right? Flips like could
if,
also be.
If your last name is Fletcher, one of your ancestors probably made arrows.
Yeah, and Flips is probably a nickname anyway. Probably came along later. He's probably William White Fudge.
Right. Cash White Fudge.
You don't hear enough of somebody having a nickname sounding name and they swap it out for another nickname sounding name. Usually it's the boring name gets an upgrade to the nickname. All right. It's your turn, Doug.
All right. Who, in their prime, Steven Seagal's music versus Mark Wahlberg's music?
Can you feel it, baby?
Feel it, feel it.
You have to go Mark Wahlberg. I can't say I've ever heard any of Steven Seagal's. Does he even put out any music?
It is a treat. You should check it out.
I will.
You're done.
I'll look it up as soon as we get off the Zoom here.
I picture him playing a flute for some reason.
I'm sure it's in there, but like, check out him. He has music videos.
Like a pan flute, you know?
Yeah. He plays guitar. It's a whole thing. It's something. You should really, it's entertainment for sure.
I bet he still has a waterbed.
Yes, absolutely. There's no way he doesn't.
But he'll never see a dime in residuals for any of his music. Yeah. Whereas Mark Wahlberg had that Good Vibrations song is going to kick him a little cash for the rest of his days.
Right.
Seagal's got his waterbed and he pulls out his guitar and he definitely like tries to seduce his lady friends with his.
What is happening?
Sorry, I can't take it.
Wow, I thought like a taxi was driving by.
Songs from the Crystal Cave was his 2004 album.
That was Seagal?
Yeah. Yeah. That his was 2017 album is called Any Great Warrior is Also a Scholar and a Poet and an Artist. Steven Seagal. All
right. Don't do that to us again.
That was a four-song EP.
I bet he makes a good chicken sandwich. You think?
Yeah. No, he just... That's the only exercise he gets is catching chickens and eating.
Here's the thing. Whole. So I just looked it up on Spotify, and Spotify is like, fans also like Bruce Willis. Yeah. Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner and Modern West.
This is people who, you know, these are people who admire actors for singing. Like,
and oddly, Soulfly, which is the old Sepultura spinoff band.
Huh. That's a weird. That's a weird algorithm.
Oh, Steven, we hardly knew you.
I'm not.
All right. Well, you know that we didn't get through Dan's questions, but he also didn't. He didn't play any songs. You know, he answered the questions without musical accompaniment. He's on a podcast called Dumb People Town. Have you heard of that?
Oh yeah,
yeah. With the Sklar Brothers.
With the Sklar Brothers.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask Dan. I wanted to get his opinion. Who's dumber, Jason or Randy?
They're both pretty dumb. No, they're actually both really, really smart. I don't know which one right? has the beard.
Like, could one of them be slightly less smart than the other, or twins have the same IQ?
Listen, they were on NPR together, so there was some debate on whether or not they had been switched at birth, but I think they figured it out.
Yeah.
So Randy could actually be Jason, and Jason could actually be Randy.
Right, but then what would that be?
A sclerable mistake.
It wouldn't matter. I mean, in my life, if they switched and didn't tell me, it wouldn't. My life wouldn't change at all.
No, you'd still be Doug Benson.
Because I always see them together. I never see them separately. And they're always really cool and fun. Maybe back in the day, once or twice, I'd see one of them without the other. I think one of them did a Douglas Movies without the other, or a At Midnight, but huh. I don't remember specifically. But yeah, so I just always think they're always a package deal to me, and a great package at that. We're going to get to your questions, and go ahead, Doug. Question 5 from Doug Miller.
All right. I must have been high when I wrote this. This feels like a high question. What do you think the inside of the Trojan horse smelled like?
Roman ass. Or Greek ass and metal.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Like,
here's the thing.
What does it smell like? Are you saying when it was empty before all the soldiers got in it?
Or no, I think while when the soldiers were in it,
or once they'd left?
Either while they were in it or once they left.
I bet it smelled worse once they all jumped out because everybody let go of all the farts they were holding in so as not to make any noise.
Yeah, it's like when you're walking off a plane, that's when you let some of the good ones go.
Yeah, going home after the first date. That's an old Mike Meehan joke. Good luck to all the couples here on a first date fart hold.
That guy's funny. I mean, I'm not just saying because of that specific thing.
He's just funny in general. He's a funny
dude. I always
loved
watching that guy. I mean, he was really inspirational in terms of how like crazy you can act on stage and the audience.
Surreal. Yeah. Surreal. Him and Steve Martin remind me that I can be a tad surreal and absurd on stage, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, and what about Bob Rubin?
Bob Rubin! Lighten up, everybody! The old Rube's here.
Oh, you know who was in the year that I did the San Francisco competition that I always thought was hilarious and he bombed every night? Was Peter...
Gahlke. Peter Gahlke's hilarious. My ex-wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, Dita, she thought Peter was the funniest guy in the world.
So funny, but like the crowds just did not, whatever reason. He just
they did not dig his brand of wackiness, but he is a funny dude.
Oh my God. He's like, you know. He has things that I just say in my daily life all the time, you know, like, I'm going to live forever. So far, so good. You know, just jokes.
Got fired from my job at the bank. I was making thousands a day.
He and Fred Wolf made that movie about the underwater, what was it called? Natural Creatures or something. But anyways, a comedy with Steve Zahn where they have lots of wacky voiceovers during nature footage.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's a fun movie, but I just always wonder what that guy's up to. Cause I always thought he was so funny and his style was so weird. Like, cause he screamed most of his jokes.
Yeah.
All right. Question number, five from, Doug got no definitive. Oh, wait, what was the answer?
What was it? Ass and metal.
Yes. Oh yeah. That's it. Ass and metal. Okay.
Which is my new goth porn series. Go ahead.
This one's crazy. Dan is in something, according to IMDb, called the Blade Runner Holiday Special.
I'm surprised you weren't in that, Doug.
Well, that's the thing. I'm just kind of shocked to be hearing about it because it obviously already exists. And so I'm sad I wasn't asked to participate. I could have walked by in the background, just like in the movie. But yeah, I guess it's a parody of, I assume it's a parody of the Star Wars holiday special.
Sure.
And the joke would be that everybody in Blade Runner is so dour and depressing and sad that it'd just be a terrible holiday special.
Yeah. Cheer up. Time to die.
Yeah. Just, you know, and now Roy Batty with a poem and he's just sitting there getting rained on, blood dripping out of him. And he's... tells his last little speech before he dies. I can't believe we did it. We got through all 10 questions for Dan Van Kirk and right on the money in terms of we're out of time. We got through all.
I told you. I told you.
We do not have time for yours, Gaio, but we do have time for you to plug whatever you want.
Okay, let's see. This comes out tonight. So, Saturday I will be in Santa Cruz. That's Saturday the 24th, and then the week after, the 29th through the 31st, I will be at Good Nights in Raleigh, North Carolina with my good friend Brian Posehn. Woo! And then in mid-September I will be in Berlin, good Lord willing, and the COVID don't rise, at the International Cannabis Business Conference series. You can follow me on all the social medias, NGAIO420 on your Instagram and your Twitter. And then on the TikTok, you have to spell out the 420 because TikTok hates weed.
So what do? You can only exhale on TikTok or you can't show any smoke at all?
I don't think you can show any smoke. You can't even, they won't let you post like hashtag 420. People have gotten around it. They use OUI'D.
Yeah,
French weed. Pronunciation.
Yeah.
To post their weed things. It's so bizarre and weird. And I really don't use TikTok as much because of it, but I think I'm going to start getting into Instagram Reels.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Those are fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can so many things. You can add so many things to them, like music and.
Yeah, effect. We should do some bong hit duets on Instagram Reels, Doug.
Doug Mellard, what do you have to plug?
Next Friday, July 30th, I will be at Secret Group in Houston, Texas. And then the next Thursday, August 5th, I'll be doing my monthly show in Austin at Buzzmill with my good pal Mike Wiebe. And then I'll pass it on to you for another special show, possibly.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You will be joining me in San Antonio at LOL Comedy Club on August, what are the 7 and 8? Is that it?
Yeah. That'll be fun. I love that club. Have a great time, guys.
Yeah, it's a good spot. And we're doing a Doug Loves Movies one day and a stand-up show the next day.
Sweet.
420. We've also got one coming up, Doug Loves Movies at the San Diego club called American Comedy Company. That's on July 31st.
Nice.
Yeah. What should we call this episode?
Ooh.
I'm not Daniel Van Kirk.
Well, that's, you know, that every episode could be called that except for one.
Sure.
I just have
round on both sides and high in the middle. Ungayo.
I just have a blank space here with just written clever ass Doug pun here.
Ah.
So we always do a different kind of Doug pun, but usually it's something relating to the guest.
Sex, Dougs, and violence, or sex, Dougs, and rock and roll.
Okay. I like that. Sex, Dugs, and Rock and Roll with Ungayo. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right, I got two albums out. One is called Weed and Sex. The other one's called Weedier and Sexier. So there you go.
Yeah, that's perfect. For all of my dates and deets, go to DougLovesMovies.com. Definitely come out to see me and Doug Mellard. We're going to try to, for the stand-up show, I'll mention it on the next episode of this show, whether I got it passed through or not, but I'm going to try to make some sort of deal for anybody that can prove their name is Doug. I'm hoping for free admission. I think that, because how many Dougs with ID are going to show up, you know?
It's a good question.
In San Antonio. So anyway, I'll run it by that club and then I'll make it official later. Thank you again to Ungayo Bilum.
Yeah, thanks, man.
My pleasure. Awesome. Thank you, Doug.
Awesome guest. Can't wait to ask our next guest all of our Ungayo Bilum questions. And
as always, I'm going to tune in because I want to hear these questions.
Right? It's just basically a way we get people to listen to the next episode. As always, sex, Dougs, and rock and roll.
There you go.
Got it.